Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick continues teaching a series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In these lessons, Rick shows you what it means to truly be spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. In just a little while, we're going to tell you how to get the Lord's Prayer Words of Hope and Happiness gift book. This life-giving resource will help you strengthen the hope of the children you love by introducing them to the Lord's Prayer. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Prayer of Connection.
So I've been doing a lot of study of the parallels in the Bible to different kinds of recessions in the nation of Israel. And one of the passages that I found was in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, where it talks about this. And here's an appropriate verse. Verse 5 says, "During those dark times, it was not even safe to travel." It's talking about in Israel. "Problems troubled the nation on every hand." When I read that phrase, I thought, deja vu all over again. Problems troubled the nation on every hand. You see, we don't just have economic problems in our nation right now. We've got international problems. We've got social problems, cultural problems, spiritual problems, relational problems. We have problems troubling the nation on every hand. But even in the darkest of times, God always gives a voice of hope. And in this particular time, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, He brought along a preacher named Azariah. And Azariah had these words of hope to say to the king at that time, Asa, and the entire nation. He said this, "Listen, all you people, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with Him. And if you seek Him, you will find Him. But if you abandon Him," talking about God, "He will abandon you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without God's law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord and they sought Him, and He was found by them." That phrase gives me hope. In their distress, they turned to the Lord. That is my prayer for me, that in my distress, I will turn to the Lord. For you, that in your distress, you will turn to the Lord. For our church, that in our distress, we will turn to the Lord. For our city, our county, our country, our state, that during this time of tough times, we will turn not simply to economic solutions or governmental solutions or any of the other things that might come along, but we will turn to the Lord. Last week, I mentioned that the starting point, anytime you're in distress, anytime you're in problem, when you need renewal, revival, reawakening, restoration in your marriage, in your career, in your life, in your community, in our nation, it always starts, first of all, with reconnecting with God. I want to take that a little bit deeper this week. If you'll write this down on your outline, the first antidote to national recession is to connect to God, to get reconnected to God. It is our disconnect from God that causes all of the problems in our lives and in our nation. Now, you know that a couple weeks ago at the presidential inauguration, when I prayed the inaugural invocation, I ended with the Lord's Prayer. And I did that intentionally. I did it for five reasons. I had thought of these things in advance in my mind, and I wanted to end the prayer with the Lord's Prayer. In the first place, I knew that the words of Jesus would be far more important than any words that I could possibly say. So I wanted to pray the Lord's Prayer. Second, it's the best known prayer on earth. More people know the Lord's Prayer than any other prayer, and I knew that millions of people would pray it with me. In fact, they did. In that moment, more people around the world may have prayed the Lord's Prayer at one time than any other time in history. Number three, I did a little research, and I had discovered that the Lord's Prayer had never been prayed at a presidential inauguration, and I wanted it in the history books. I wanted the Lord's Prayer recorded in American history. So I thought, you know, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back for a long time, and 1,000 years from today, they're studying the history of that nation that was called America, and they find out, oh, they prayed the Lord's Prayer together, and it would be in the history books. But the real reason I chose it, by the way, I also knew that the prayer would be answered because it's a prayer of Jesus. And if he prayed it, then it's going to be answered. But the real reason I prayed the Lord's Prayer is because in that simple prayer, every possible thing you need for life is contained in the Lord's Prayer. In fact, if it wasn't there, believe me, Jesus would have added it in. So everything you need is covered in that Lord's Prayer. Now, for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to tear that prayer apart piece by piece. I'm calling the series Connecting with God, because that's the starting point on the road to renewal, restoration, revival, recovery, reawakening, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to look at these seven different phrases in the Lord's Prayer, because every single one of those seven phrases are an answer to the seven greatest stresses in your life. The things that cause you more conflict, more problem, more difficulty, more hassle than anything else, if you understand the Lord's Prayer and you don't just pray it, you live it, it will change your life. Now, most of you have known the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father for many, many years, maybe since you were a child. And you can pray it even without thinking about it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know, and you don't even think about it. But these are profound statements. And when you understand the meaning behind the message, you're going to find the peace in your life soaring and the stress in your life declining. Now, let me just give you a little overview of where we're going for the next 7 weeks. And I don't want you to miss any of these as I teach this series. Up here on the screen, the first phrase in the Lord's Prayer is this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I call this the prayer of connection. And we're going to talk about it today. How do you get connected to God? And what the prayer of connection is it's actually God's intervention for your insecurities. You have enormous insecurities in your life that you grew up with, and you got them in your family. And God's intervention into your insecurities comes when you understand our Father who art in heaven. We're going to look at that today. You give your love to God. Then the next phrase is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to look at that next week. I call that the prayer of surrender. And what the prayer of surrender is it's God's cure for your confusion. If you've ever wondered, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Where am I supposed to be going with my life? Where should I be headed with my life? What does God want me to do? You don't need not to miss next week, because God's cure for your confusion is contained in that phrase when you understand the meaning behind it and you give God your life. Then the next phrase is, give us this day our daily bread. And of course, that's God's or the prayer of our needs. It's when we pray for our needs to be met. Give us this day our daily bread. It's actually God's antidote to your anxiety. When you understand the full impact of the phrase, give us this day our daily bread, and the meaning and the promises behind that, you will never again need to worry. It is the antidote to your anxiety. It will wipe out your worry if you will give God your worries. The next phrase of the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our trespasses. Sometimes it's translated sins. Sometimes it's translated debts. And this, of course, is the prayer of cleansing. It is the key to a clear conscience. It is God's grace for your guilt. So many people go around carrying guilt, shame, regrets, if only. And this is a very liberating part of the prayer. I don't want you to miss that week where we talk about how do you let go and get on with your life and receive God's grace for your guilt, and you give him your regrets. The next part of the prayer is, oh, and by the way, it says, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, who have hurt us, who have sinned against us, who are indebted to us. That is the prayer of release. And to me personally, I think that's the most powerful part of the prayer. It is God's healing for your hurts. It's God's way of being released from the pain of your past when you understand how to let it go. And then the prayer says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is the prayer of security or the prayer of safety. It's the prayer where God promises to protect us. And it is the God's protection for your problems. And specifically in this area, lead us not into temptation. When you understand the meaning of it, it is the way to overcome all the things that are out of control in your life. And in this part of the prayer, you give God the affections, the attractions, the addictions, the habits, the hurts, the hang-ups, the things that are stubborn in your life that you would like to change and you just can't change them. And you give those uncontrollables to God. And you give them to him. The last part of the prayer says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We often just kind of skip over that part. And yet when you understand those three words, kingdom, power, and glory, and you understand the implications of them, you will understand God's solution to your struggles. That everything you need in life is covered in that prayer, and you give God your future. Now, this morning, we're going to look simply at the first phrase of the prayer. So let's read it together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Read it with me. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I know a little kid who got this all wrong, and he thought it said, our Father in heaven, Harold be your name. And he thought God's name was Harold. Another little boy didn't understand this, and he thought it was, our Father in heaven, how do I know your name? Now, we're not going to cover the second part of that, the hallowed be your name, because we actually talked about that in depth last week, the importance of Jesus' name, the importance of God's name, and the power and the significance and the implications of God's name. So today, I want us to just look at the phrase, our Father. Our Father. When Jesus said we're to pray to God as this, our Father, it broke all the rules. Jesus exploded all the stereotypes about God in two words, our Father. You see, until Jesus came to earth, God came to earth in human form in Jesus to let us know what he's like, nobody really knew that God was our Father. You wouldn't know that God is your Father except for Jesus Christ. Do you know that in the thousands of years covered in the Old Testament part of the Bible, God is called Father only seven times in thousands of years? People just didn't think of God as Father. They thought of him as other kind of things, Creator and Almighty One and on and on. But they didn't think of God as Father. Yet Jesus comes along and says, this is how you're to pray. Call him Father. And Jesus uses the expression over 150 times referring to God. And what he's doing is he's exploding all the stereotypes. God is not the angry tyrant. God is not the cosmic cop. He is not the universal killjoy. He is not the impersonal force. He is not all these other things that people want to make God out to be. He says this, you might write this down. God is a person, not a power. God is a person, not a power. The reason you have personhood, the reason you are a person, is because you were created in the image of God. That makes you different from the animals. God is a personal God. And he has an ability to have a relationship with us, and he created you with the ability to have a relationship with him. God is a person, not a power. He is a father, not a force. And that's why we don't sign off our prayers saying, may the force be with you. No, we say our Father, because he's a father, not a force. Now, this is really good news when you understand it. Because I can't relate to some impersonal force. I can't relate to some disembodied ooey-gooey spirit in the sky that I don't even, you know, what is it? But I can relate to a personality. I can relate, I can get to know him, I can connect, I can have a relationship with God as Father.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen again. Rick will be back to close out our time in just a moment, but first, perhaps the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. It's the key to living with hope. Jesus said we should always pray and never give up. That's why it's so important to strengthen the hope of children by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at an early age. With this in mind, we're excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture of the King James Version of the Bible to life. Readers young and old will enjoy thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Rick Warren, and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist, Richard Jesse Watson. It's sure to become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness, is the perfect way to share the beauty and richness of the Lord's Prayer with the children the Lord has placed in your life, and we'll send it to you when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the good news to people everywhere. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want you to listen to this testimony from a listener in Monterrey, Mexico. Jonas Alvarez writes, "Hi there, Pastor Rick. My name is Jonas Alvarez, and I'm an English teacher in Monterrey, Mexico. I listen to Daily Hope every day by podcast, and it has profoundly enriched my life. I recommend to my students to listen to it and to practice their English skills." Hey, that's a great idea. "And I know for sure that if they do, they're going to get much more than just learning English. Thank you so very much. Sincerely, Jonas." Well, thanks for writing, Jonas. My prayer is that Daily Hope will bring the hope that we find in Jesus to your students, just as we're praying that it brings hope to people all around the world. By the way, did you notice how Jonas is sharing Daily Hope podcast with his students? I think that's a great idea. My question to you is, who are you sharing the Daily Hope podcast with? Who could you tell about this good news? You know, good news is so good, we can't keep it to ourselves. You got to share it. So if you share Daily Hope with somebody else, would you let me know about it? Write me. You know the address, rick@pastorrick.com. It's just rick@pastorrick.com. And tell me your story of how you're sharing Daily Hope with other people.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.